fully secure in the one and only sovereign God. Is a sense of insecurity perhaps one of the main reasons why President Putin invaded Ukraine? Too many NATO nations already too close to Russia's borders. And Ukraine now also applying for NATO membership. The second century theologian Reinhold Niebuhr suggests that modern political tyranny may be traced to a darkly conscious realization of the insecurity of man's existence. The atrocities of people in power may speak of the fact that in their deepest hearts, they are not really in control of anything at all. Isn't insecurity today widely manifested on the world stage? As countries feel threatened by the possibility of a nuclear war erupting in Europe and grapple with shortage in food and energy supplies and a looming recession worldwide. Isn't feelings of insecurity a dark manifestation even in the hearts of Christians who are faced with persecution of some sort by the powers to be? Many Christians today, says Sidney Greidanus, suffer at the hands of the state. Since 1990, an average of 160,000 Christians have been martyred every year. 160,000 martyred every year. It is hard to imagine the pain and the feelings of insecurity, we may add, in these Christian communities. According to the latest estimates, wrote Greidanus in 2012, 100 million Christians are persecuted worldwide. And even in countries where there is relative freedom in general, people today suffer because of unjust war, like in Ukraine, we might add. Human kingdoms are not getting any better. They can be cruel and evil. And therefore, all over our postmodern, post-Christian world, Christian communities wrestle with insecure circumstances. Political insecurity can be traced back to Nebuchadnezzar, the powerful leader of the most mighty nation on the face of the earth back then. The great king Nebuchadnezzar wakes up in a sweat. He had that frightening dream again. He feels deeply upset. He had been a successful general. He had conquered many nations. He is the king of the mightiest nation on earth. But he cannot get back to sleep. What's the meaning of this recurring dream? In the dream, he sees a huge statue of a man. The man has a head of gold and chest and arms of silver, a middle and thighs of bronze and legs of iron and feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. And then suddenly a stone is cut out of the mountain and it rolls down the hill and smashes the statue to dust. The wind blows the dust away. There's no trace of the big statue left. But then strangely, the stone begins to grow. It becomes a huge mountain, so huge that it fills the whole earth. The dream returns night after night and fills Nebuchadnezzar with feelings of dread and insecurity. The king has no idea what the dream means. Does the gods try to tell the king that he is the statue? Does it point to an enemy out there that will grind his golden empire to dust? Is there an assassin lurking in the political dark? Nebuchadnezzar is bereft of sleep by feelings of insecurity. If only he can know what the gods are trying to tell him. 3 times the king insists that the wise men tell him the dream and its meaning. He had received an important message from the gods. He wants to make sure his wise men interpret it correctly. If he tells them the dream, they can come up with any kind of interpretation. But if they can tell both the dream and its interpretation, he will surely know what the gods of Babylon want to tell him. But actually, this terrifying dream had been given to Nebuchadnezzar by none other than Yahweh, the one and only true living God, the God at war, actually, with all those false and non-existent gods worshipped by the Babylon king and his people. This one and only true and living God reveals both the dream and its content to Daniel, his servant and prophet, there in Babylon. And from Daniel's lips, in immediate response, then it flows, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." From the one and only God, through Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar learns the fate and future of his kingdom. It is going to be destroyed and replaced. At the same time, the people of God are given a panoramic vision of the four great empires which will arise and then fall until the coming of Israel's Messiah, King Jesus, who will crush the last of these great empires as his kingdom extends into all the earth and endures until the very end of time. It is Daniel's God, not Nebuchadnezzar's gods, who rules heaven and earth and directs the affairs of people and nations. Yes, the book of Daniel, brothers and sisters, is written to comfort and encourage God's people in all ages of human history, battling circumstances and feelings of insecurity. God is sovereign in control, and his kingdom is coming and will grow and will exist for all eternity. Let's flesh out Nebuchadnezzar's dream as revealed to Daniel and interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar, also to our comfort and encouragement in days oh so insecure. The message God gives Nebuchadnezzar is that he is the head of gold with ruling power over all human beings. But Nebuchadnezzar needs to realize that he did not become that king of kings by his own power and achievement. The God of heaven, the one and only true God, has given him the kingdom and power and might and golden glory. No matter how great the head of gold, in the final analysis, all that he is and has is given to him by the God of heaven. The God of heaven is the sovereign God. He is the Lord of kings. He controls history and the destiny of kings and nations. And the sovereign, all-powerful, one and only God of the universe has decreed that Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon Empire be replaced by another empire, symbolized by the silver chest and arms known to us as the Medo-Persian Empire, which defeated Nebuchadnezzar's empire and remained on stage until the end of Daniel's life, with Cyrus then the emperor. So Persia, in turn, would give way to the next great empire, symbolized by the bronze belly and thighs, the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great, who dominated from 312 to 60 before Christ. The Greek Empire would likewise be replaced by yet another great empire, the last in the series of human empires, the Roman Empire, which in Nebuchadnezzar's dream was symbolized by the feet of the statue made of iron mixed with clay. Iron is the strongest of the metals, yet the mixture of iron with clay in the dream indicates that this empire will suffer from eternal weakness and division, and eventually will be crushed. At the initiative of Yahweh, who gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream and the proper interpretation of it to Daniel. The Babylonian kingdom will not last. It will be replaced by another and another and yet another, until God's kingdom comes, symbolized by the rock that struck the statue and became a huge mountain that fills the whole earth. To Nebuchadnezzar's terror and to God's people's comfort, the dream's message is clearly pronounced. God's messianic kingdom is on its way, and it will replace all human kingdoms, and it will fill the whole earth and will last forever and ever. 500 years later, Jesus comes to earth. The kingdom of Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece are long gone. Rome now rules the world. The angel Gabriel announces Jesus' birth to Mary. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, there will be no end. Some 30 years later, Jesus begins his ministry. He proclaims the good news of God and says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." With Jesus' preaching and miracles, he brings God's kingdom into the world. Jesus says, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you." But the kingdom of God does not come fully in Jesus' lifetime. The Roman kingdom is still in charge. In fact, when Roman soldiers crucify Jesus, it looks like the kingdom of God had failed. The one and only sovereign God, however, can turn defeat into victory, and he raises Jesus from the dead. When the disciples meet the risen Lord, they ask him, "Lord, is it this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" They ask such because they did not realize that God's kingdom will come in two stages. First, the already of the kingdom with Jesus' first coming. Secondly, the not yet of the fullness of God's kingdom at Jesus' second coming. So Jesus replies, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." As instead of satisfying their curiosity, Jesus sends his disciples on a mission. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so the kingdom of God begins to spread to the ends of the earth. And it reminds us of the stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, doesn't it? The stone that struck the statue and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The whole earth. The stone, in one sense, is Jesus. Primary Jesus. But when the stone begins to grow into a mountain that fills the whole earth, it is also the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is coming. It is already here and is growing and will, in the end, replace all human kingdoms. In our day, brothers and sisters, totalitarian states like Putin's Russia and democratic states as represented, we could say, by NATO, battle for global supremacy. Political, excuse me, political insecurity may be one of the main reasons for the war crimes and devastation at present in Ukraine. And for sure a main reason for global insecurity at present in about all sectors of life. But here is the good news from Daniel 2. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises others up. And who is the he in consideration? Not a false god like money or political power, but the one and only sovereign God revealed in the pages of Scripture and in nature and even in history. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus told the high priest, "From now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Even now, Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, ruling His church from His heavenly throne through His Word and through His Spirit. And when Jesus comes again, His kingdom will fully replace all earthly kingdoms and fill the whole earth. And then, as we read in Romans 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Messiah, and He will reign forever and ever. So take heart, be comforted and encouraged in knowing for sure, no matter how insecure the circumstances in this war-torn and persecution-swamped, broken world of us, the future is safe and secure in the hands of the one and only sovereign God. Whatever our circumstances, God's kingdom of peace and justice is surely fleshed out towards its perfect eternal state right now. Be comforted and encouraged by this quote from James M. Boyce. God is sovereign over the details of history, which is the book of Daniel's theme. If God does not control our lives from the actions of kings and others in positions of power to the most minute circumstance, then everything in life is uncertain and insecure. But if God is sovereign, and if He is our God, the promises He makes and actions He takes are certain of fulfillment, then we can be confident of the future and know that we will be able to live our lives in a way that pleases our God. As we await that glorious day of the perfection of God's kingdom at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the meantime, as we await that glorious day of kingdom perfection, our primary calling, brothers and sisters, says Ian Duguid, is bowing down, worshipping God. That was Nebuchadnezzar's response to the dream and its interpretation. We read he fell upon his face before Daniel, not worshipping Daniel, but acknowledging, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. How do we respond to a great sporting triumph? We spontaneously celebrate. And we find it hard not to share such great news with others. How much more then should we respond with an overflowing joy to the reminder this morning that God's kingdom is ultimate and that in Christ His sovereignty is established forever. God is busy bringing all things together under the feet of Christ, and our eyes shall see Him reign. The rock reigns. He reigns already. And we have a sure hope that His kingdom will surely come in its fullness. Our hearts, brothers and sisters, should be ready to burst with gladness at this news. Our feet, ready to run and go share. Our voices, ready to shout good news. Our God reigns forevermore. Also important to note that Daniel and his friends did not go isolate themselves from the kingdom of this world, from society out there, as they wait for God to establish his kingdom. Rather, these men poured themselves into seeking the welfare of their temporary home in Babylon. They did exactly what Jeremiah 29:5 encouraged exiles to do. Build your houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat the produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters and multiply. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That's why we also read at the end of this chapter, Daniel made a request to the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained in the king's court. Daniel and his friends seek the city's welfare, even in the political arena. And so should we do, and so should politicians who believe in Jesus Christ do, even in days darkened with insecure circumstances, in days of battling also personal insecurity. Let me conclude with a telling scene from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. No authoritarian or democratic state provide a secure future in this world. Only the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, can so do. In the kingdom of the one and only sovereign God, so surrender your life, your emotions, your feelings, you all. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and find your only real security in Him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our risen and enthroned Savior and Master. You conquered the grave and death. You are alive. We often find it difficult to comprehend the true greatness of your resurrection, ascension, and enthronement. We are so skeptical by nature. Satan wants us to believe that the lie that the disciples stole your body and buried it somewhere else. Merciful God, forgive us our doubts and weakness in faith. And thank you, Lord, that you have indeed exceeded the limits of our reason, the hypocrisy of religion, and the theories of science. You have indeed risen from the dead and are indeed enthroned at the Father's right hand in heaven. And we know this as an absolute certainty, because your Spirit has brought us to an understanding and acceptance of your holy word. and its truths. We have met you and have come to know you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in believing without seeing, we are blessed by the resurrection and ascension of your Son. Thank you that the resurrection provides proof that you have accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. We thank you for the comforting benefits of your ascension, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness of sin and the assurance that we have eternal life in Jesus, and that he has sent us his Spirit and is praying for us in heaven. And thank you for the overflowing gratitude we experience and the zeal and fervor we have to celebrate our King's coronation. And thank you for the comforting message of your word this morning. Thank you for the coming of your kingdom already in Jesus, Father, and for the assurance that the not yet of the kingdom will indeed be ended with Jesus' second coming. Help us to await the glorious day of Christ to return and the ultimate fulfillment of all the kingdom promises with a steadfast hope and with glad expectation. And help us seek the welfare of our country in all sectors of our daily living, and especially be with your children who are in the politics, Lord. Guide them with wisdom to share good news all around. All of this we ask in the sovereign name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King. Amen.